It's time for Catholic Sports Weekly with Will Hampton, the program that looks at area Catholic sports and the positive impact they have on athletes, coaches, supporters, and fans. And now, here's Will Hampton.
Happy May, so to speak. And we know everybody's busy in the month of May when it comes to the sports world. Welcome to Catholic Sports Weekly. I'm your host, Will Hampton. This show, underwritten by AAA Roofing. AAARoofingCompany.com is the best way to get a hold of them. Let's talk some spring sports, high school spring sports. The seasons, well, they're all wrapping up all over the place as new graduates start blooming all over. This past weekend, I got a chance to go to the annual Chouetard Softball Mother's Day Tournament. They really do a good job with this thing. They've done it for several years, and what they do is they bring the moms out there before, in between games. Actually, there's like four games total. And in between games, they bring the moms out there, they give all the moms a rose, and they salute Mother's Day at the Chouetard Softball Tournament. It's kind of cool because we all know the moms have a lot to do with those softball girls getting to and from and all over the place from the time they're 4 years old all the way up through college, some of them. And so a salute to all the moms, and happy Mother's Day. Now, that tournament at Chouetard was actually won by Ritter. Ritter got the win, and I got a chance to talk with their coach.
Nate Heim, he's the Ritter softball coach, and you guys are this weekend you're playing in a Mother's Day tournament. Kind of neat to salute the moms, isn't it?
Yes, sir, it is. Chouetard actually does a really good job out here giving flowers to the moms in between games, so we thought that was pretty cool, but we like coming out here and playing this tournament all every year.
You guys are getting ready for the sectional. What? Tell me about your sectional draw, where you guys are going, who you playing?
Sectional draw, we'll have Cascade, Speedway, Monrovia, Shortridge, and Washington are in our draw there. We played the first game against Washington, and then the second game would be their championship game for us.
This game, I know my daughter plays high school softball, she plays for Noblesville, but overall, what I love is the talent level, and the kids are just getting bigger and stronger and better, and the game is so much better. How long have you coached, and have you seen sort of that evolution of this game?
Yeah, actually I have. I've coached for probably, my oldest daughter's 22 years old now, so I've coached her when she was little, and we've been going through fast pitch. I played travel ball for the Gators, and so we've been around a lot, but no, it has changed tremendously. More girls are going to pitching lessons, getting hitting lessons, the bats are getting stronger. It's tougher competition now than what it used to be when we played this game, started off with my oldest.
As far as the Catholic schools, when you think of you guys, Chouetard, Cathedral, I can't start listing them all, Cecina, Garen, on and on and on. Is the level of competition pretty good now at the Catholic schools?
Yeah, it is, actually. It is. I mean, honestly, there's more girls going to the Catholic schools than the private schools, and the talent's getting stronger and better. I mean, you're not going to face a weak Catholic school usually. You're going to face some tough competition every time you face Garen, Chouetard, Cecina, and Roncalli. They all are picking up a lot of good players.
Yeah. I know one thing with the Catholic schools, and I love it as a Catholic, there's a faith element to it. The kids are all disciplined, and do you see that it's a good group of girls to coach because of their faith and because of the things they learn, with their family and their faith formation?
Yes, I do. I mean, honestly, they come into the game as realizing that everybody's family. Everybody's all in the same belief. They like saying prayers before practices, for their games, and they all come together. And like, it's one thing that brings them together is their faith. Mm-hmm. So I believe that helps out a lot with the coaching as far as that aspect goes. They're disciplined. They're more tuned in. And like I said, they know it's all God's work in everything we do out here.
So I know sometimes, all of us adults, we want to win and lose. When we don't want to lose, we want to win. We play all the way to the end. But sometimes when you just sort of take care of your fellow man, that's really what it's about.
Yes. Yeah, we always make sure. In those games, everybody's respectful. Everybody, no matter win or lose, you come out of the game, everybody's very respectful of each other. We usually come at the end, say a prayer. As two teams get together, and they'll say a prayer at the end of the match. So, yeah, I mean, we're all out there for the same thing because of the love of the game. And we love playing the sport.
I know this time of year is a great time at Ritter because you can hear those cars running over at 16th and Georgetown. Isn't that neat to be sitting there on campus and you can hear those cars churning around turn 3 and 4?
Yes, you can. You can hear them go around. And plus, you get occasionally you'll get the practice flyovers during practice, which is pretty cool too. So, yeah, we hear it. And it's busy around that time of year, but like I said, it's all part of the community out there. Everybody loves it, and everybody knows what's coming on board here towards the end of May.
Speaking of the cars and sights and sounds of 16th and Georgetown, congratulations to Will Power. He won the IndyCar Grand Prix of Indianapolis. That was at IMS on Saturday. The 200th career IndyCar win for Roger Penske. Now, that's saying a lot. Let's say hi now to a guy who's, well, he has well over 200 career victories. That's Father Glenn O'Connor, and he is the leader of the IndyCar ministry, does a lot of Catholic masses during the month of May. And Father Glenn, welcome to Catholic Sports Weekly. Glad to have you on finally.
Well, thank you very much. There's also some other chaplains there. I do most of the Catholic stuff, and we also have two other guys also that are involved in the ministry, and one other priest from Indianapolis is also involved in it.
Yeah, I know you guys, you try to be as non-denominational as possible, right? Because a lot of the drivers are not Catholic, but there is a very Catholic feel to it. I know, especially on race day, you have a mass, and I guess you're there when people need you, right?
We have, yeah. On race day, we actually have four masses out of the
really?
Speedway.
Yeah. Where all do you do? I've been to the one before over the years in the media center. That one.
Right. And now the first mass is kind of one for the yellow shirts and some of the stand workers. St. Joe's Church has a stand over there. We have a 4:30 a.m. mass for them.
Oh, wow.
And then at 7 and 9, we're underneath the grandstand at some of the garages, the Grand Prix garage, the old Grand Prix garages.
Mm-hmm.
And we have two masses there. And then the Archbishop will be out for a 9:30 mass on the Cooper stage in the infield.
We're talking with Father Glenn O'Connor. You have been involved.
Oh, the Archbishop.
Yeah, there you go. But you have, you've been involved with IndyCar racing and the Indianapolis Motor Speedway for a long time. Kind of catch me up
43
on.
43 years.
How many? 43?
43.
Is that just mainly because of where you've been, or was there a love of racing and a love of the history of the Speedway that got you in how did you get involved 43 years
well,
ago?
Well, in Indianapolis, you kind of grew up with, you know, mm-hmm. knowing about the Speedway. But one of my best friends is a guy named Joe Flynn, and at the time, he was working on with a guy named Eldon Rasmussen. Eldon was a Canadian that came down, and he was a tremendous fabricator. And in those days, he built his own car. He modified a Road Atlanta car. And it was kind of a low-buck operation. Eldon had five children, and as a fabricator, there wasn't a lot of money in those days. And the first weekend of qualifying in 1975, he crashed the car. And just a devastating thing. And in those days, you didn't go take a car off a shelf. You fabricated. You had to fix everything. Mm-hmm. And so Joe was working with him at the time, and I was in the seminary. And they just needed a lot of hands down there to help out. There was probably, 15 to 20 people down there, all trying to get that thing set for the next weekend. And it was a real operation. And we got the car in the race, started in the last row. And to be honest with you, I never went home after that.
Yeah. So there must be just a kind of a love affair, so to speak, with racing. And now, you've been over the years. Haven't you been on crews and things like that?
I still do. I'll be with Ed Carpenter's with this year.
What do you do?
But I've been very, very fortunate over the years to, especially after becoming a priest, when I can't come out there all the time.
Yeah.
People have been very understanding about funerals and things like that.
So what's been your role primarily with Ed Carpenter? What do you
with the tires. I help a guy named Wayne Selman, who's kind of the head guy of that stuff, and then just help him with the tires, getting them out there, getting them ready to go, stripping them down back to Firestone to get more, and but stay on this side of the wall. I can't climb over the wall. I'd fall getting over that wall now.
Well, how difficult is being a chaplain with racing? It's such a dangerous sport. It's such, you know, those families. I know you do a lot of praying before the race. You'll go before the guys run. You get a chance to kind of be with the families. And is it a very difficult sport? I would imagine, because there could be, you know, it's a life and death situation many, many times, isn't it?
It is. It is. But the, you know, the racing fraternity is an unbelievable community. Yes, the drivers all handle that differently. I mean, for the most part, they can't go out there worried over about that. When they get on the racetrack, they got to have confidence in their car. And and they go. They know that risk going in, but most of them, you know, they kind of put that aside. They're out there to compete and do the best that they can. And the same thing with the families. Every family kind of, they have different ways to deal with that. Some of the wives are right there. They want to know everything. They got a radio on, and most of them are very much involved in that. Afterwards, certainly with the hours and things like that, it's hard on marriage, especially for all the mechanics and people like that. Toward the end of the season, it's a long season. They're away from home quite a bit, and you know, they really have to work at a marriage, and it's a difficult thing. And certainly during the tragedies, why we're there for them to do the very best that we can. But you know, it's you're right. The difficult come certainly with guys, and the guys getting hurt.
Yeah,
nothing worse than you know, some of these guys. I years ago had a race driver live with me for 3 months that could not walk. He was in rehab for that.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of watched some of those, watched what the ups and downs of that going through.
Yeah. Now you're home.
He actually lived in the rectory at St. Philip's.
Well, that's neat. Now you've moved around a little bit. You're at St. Susanna, right? Am I correct there?
Plainfield.
Yeah. Okay. And that, of course, is West Side, and a lot of people are very excited about racing this time of year all around, really, the world.
Absolutely.
But the West Side just comes alive, doesn't it, in the month
you're
of
right.
May.
You're
help me
exactly
understand
right.
The heartbeat of the West Side when the Indy 500 rolls into town.
Well, I think by nature, you know, there's a long history, particularly around the racetrack, of so many families that opened their homes. And in those days, the drivers, many of the mechanics had very little money, and they stayed, used to be a dollar a day, which included breakfast. People don't get enough credit of how much those people contributed to the race, because there was not a lot of money back in those days.
Yeah.
But they opened that, and that spirit of hospitality still continues. And Main Street Speedway is just unbelievable with the welcome they have. But you trickle out all over town in the West Side parishes. You know, St. Chris and St. Gabriel's and some of them actually have to change their services on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, half of them are at the race anyway, so it works out just fine to do most of the masses on Saturday and able to accommodate that. But, no, they're thrilled to death to have everybody in town, and Hoosier hospitality is at its best.
Well, I know when I first, I grew up in Muncie, and we used to come up, and I was always amazed at how, you're right, the hospitality of that neighborhood right around 16th and Georgetown, how they kind of turned it into, they understand now, hey, I might be able to make a buck on this too by getting there, opening up their yards, and it is a community, not just you know, one day, but you know, had
right.
the race just this past weekend with the Grand Prix that Will Power won, and it's a neat you know, evolution of how we had Doug Bowles on this show a couple of weeks ago. I think he's just done a marvelous job trying to ride the stream of how the sport has changed. Don't you think he has?
There is a one-man promoter like we've never had before. What a gift to the Speedway. I thought I was pretty patient. He is patient.
Yeah, he sure is. Hey, another thing you're heavily involved in is with the Curcio movement. I'm a Curista, I guess I would be, since I went to a Curcio weekend.
Yes.
That's a big part of what you're doing these days. Tell me about Curcio and how people, perhaps listening to the show, if they haven't done it, why they should get involved in a Curcio weekend.
Curcio is a great gift to the church. I made my Curcio back in when I was in the seminary, and it really changed my life in many ways. I think Curcio, sometimes in the seminary, you learn a lot of things in your head, and it becomes very, very intellectual. And that weekend I spent on the Curcio really developed my relationship with Jesus Christ, and the heart and the head connects together. You really have to have both. And I've been involved in it for the last, ever since then, as a priest, as a spiritual director on the retreats, and then I'm on the secretariat now, which also kind of helps run the Curcio. But it's, you know, for Catholics that are going to church, and something's missing, you kind of get into a routine. We're a very kind of a church. We kind of do the same things a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I always, I just love to see people go on a weekend. It's kind of a spiritual uplifting thing. What's beautiful about it, it is mostly lay people that go to work, that have kids, that are married, and maybe even had marriages that collapsed on them. But people that are living ordinary lives that witness the difference that Jesus Christ and the Catholic Church makes in their life. It's one thing to hear it from priests preaching every Sunday and talk about their way of life, and we have a particular vocation that God has called us to. But, you know, for people that are going to work and struggles and things like that, the Crucio, it's not just the weekend, but afterwards we kind of group and talk about our relationship. And it's really, it's men only, then it's women only. We yep. certainly encourage men and women to make it. But, gosh, it has just, it really is evangelization of our own people when you get right down to it.
Yeah, and I think we
don't necessarily learn new stuff, but my gosh, you get fired up of what this wonderful church has to offer.
Yeah, I think my experience with it was that the whole day four concept, that it continues. It's not just 3 days, it continues for the rest of your life. And I right. think it, do you agree or disagree? With me, the feeling was, You understand that, you know, you've got these guys that maybe went through it with you, or they've done it before with another, another session at some other point, that you guys are now kind of brothers in faith, and you kind of understand each other a little bit, and it kind of goes on the rest of your life. You can lean on other people, and you can help each other with your faith. That's really the lesson, I think, isn't it?
Oh, it was. It was wonderful. One of our, I mentioned that race driver that, kind of, you know, went through a horrible crash and smashed his legs with Johnny Parsons.
Yeah.
But he also was a Crucista.
Yep.
And it absolutely changed his life. And he's still grouping. He still comes around once in a while.
Well, that's good.
It was definitely a life changer for him.
Well, enjoy the month of May, Father. This is Father Glenn O'Connor, IndyCar Ministry. You will be very busy, I know, but you'll enjoy it too, won't you? You'll be
Absolutely.
You'll be praying with a smile on your face like you always do.
You've got that right.
All right. Well, Father Glenn, thank you so much, and good luck the month of May, and thank you for joining us here on Catholic Sports Weekly.
And thank you for all you do for Catholic Radio. It's good to hear your voice again. It's been a few years.
It has been. Okay. Thank you, Father Glenn.
All right. Take care.
That's Father Glenn. Look for him when you're out at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway this month of May. And if you're interested in the Crucio movement, talk to your local priest, because they can get you involved. And it's well worth the visit to check that out. We're going to take a break. We'll continue with Catholic Sports Weekly right after this short timeout.
Catholic Sports Weekly is underwritten by AAA Roofing Company, where they offer full-service professional roofing, including repairs and maintenance. They're a fourth-generation, family-owned business, equipped, trained, and uniquely qualified to serve your roofing needs. Using a professional roofer protects your roof and your building investment. Information about AAA Roofing is available at 317-635-2928 or at www.aaaroofingcompany.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Sports Weekly, this show underwritten by AAA Roofing. They do have jobs. They're looking for roofers at AAARoofingCompany.com. It's my pleasure, as always, to welcome our basketball analyst, Todd Licklider, now assistant coach at the University of Evansville. Coach, good to hear you again. Everything going well?
It's going great, Will. It's a pleasure to join you.
Yeah, we were just kind of talking off air, but it's kind of a rebuild for you as far as trying to remember, okay, this is what we can do, but now they've changed all the rules in college sports, and you're back trying to get things done in Evansville. It's coming well for you with the Aces right now?
I love it. It's a great place, and people are, Walter used the term, get on board, in his introductory press conference, and we've had a lot of people. I think they're already a lot were on board. They just have a terrific fan base. It's been a lot of fun. But as you mentioned, I'm getting acclimated to the college game, and rules, they adjust them and try to improve on how the game is administered. And so I'm learning that. The good news, though, is that Matthew Graves, who was on staff with me at Butler and was down South Alabama the last 5 years, is on staff with us here.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's been a part of the college game now nonstop for the last, I don't know, 15 years or so. So he's got a great handle on it, and he's been a terrific resource.
Yeah. Well, good luck with it. I know me with a lot of people in Central Indiana now are instantly Evansville Aces fans because you're part of the program now.
We'll take them. Yeah. I'll tell you. Mm-hmm. I got a beautiful arena, 10,000-seat arena, so we've got plenty of room for people to come and enjoy it. But, you know, they used to have Roberts back years ago when Jim Cruz was here and I was at Butler, and I'd come down and scout, and they'd have 10,000 to 12,000, you know, fans per game. Yeah. So there's a, you know, the possibility to grow is here for sure.
It's got to be exciting. Hey, before you took the job with Evansville, most recently your career had kind of taken you into the NBA as a scout with the Boston Celtics. Of course, you and Brad Stevens are good friends, and you're his mentor. Yesterday, what a whipping! They beat the Cavs in Game One of the Eastern Conference Finals. It was 108-83 that game on Sunday, actually, and then they really shut down LeBron. LeBron was I think just statistically 0-for-5 from threes and only scored 15 and 5-of-16 shooting. Somebody figured something out, at least in one game. What do you think about that game?
They've studied it. Brad's great at studying and making adjustments and, you know, coming up with a game plan and the emphasis. And we haven't talked. We texted a little bit last night. But I got to tell you, too, when you're going against LeBron, one of the things is you kind of just crush your fingers.
Yeah.
You hope that he's got an off night. Now, you do everything you can, but, you know, guys like him on occasion will have an off night, and you got to hope for that. And believe me, I think Brad said afterwards, we're going to have to be better in game two, and you know LeBron isn't going to settle in and accept what occurred, so mm-hmm. You got to get ready. And he was... My goodness, was he incredible in the Toronto series?
Yeah, he was
unbelievable.
What he was able to do. I mean, to me, I mean, I like LeBron. A lot of people don't like LeBron. I just think he's just
well,
maybe
you're
the best
Indiana
ever.
Now,
you know, what
so.
I mean? Yeah, that's true.
We've got a little bit of a history with Cleveland in the last few years, so I can see. But like him or don't like him, you have to obviously respect what he's been able to do and the way he can play the game.
What is it about Brad Stevens? He has some kind of knack for coaching, doesn't he? you taught him all he knows, right? I know you'll never admit.
That's what I'd like to claim. But actually, I told somebody the other day, if I was smarter, I would have gotten out of the way a lot sooner and let him take over at Butler. So, you know what? He's got a great feel. He's very analytical. It's been noted he's very intelligent, but he's a real worker. He studies, and then I think also, and people talk about this more and more recently, but the culture, you know, how he relates to the players and has a culture within the organization of camaraderie and cohesiveness and all the things that are so important to the success of a team, because you're dependent on one another.
Yeah.
And I just think there's a real respect within that organization. And I don't think it is Brad, but it's also Danny Ainge and ownership and all. They are really united in the way that they conduct their business and in a very respectful, appreciative way. And I think it just makes people really buy in and have a willingness to sacrifice for one another and those sort of things. And it's not an easy task.
Well, I'm sure it's kind of the same kind of thing that you will take to Evansville. That kind of camaraderie, that kind of community, that kind of development with Walter McCarty, who had some time with the Celtics as well. And Matthew Graves and yourself, you hope to build that kind of culture at Evansville, right? That's your goal.
Well, I tell you what, I think it's a great way to live. You know, you think about, okay, you're obviously wanting to win games, but every day, what kind of environment do you want to be in? What kind of people do you want to be around on? That's one of the things that drew me to Evansville was Coach McCarty's just desire to have the same kind of environment that he lived in at Boston, and he experienced, and he's saying that, hey, we want to have a cohesive staff, and that's why he brought in two, Terrence Commodore, who was at Eastern Kentucky, and a Kentucky, had worked at University of Kentucky, so Walter knew him through that, and then Logan Bauman, who was at University of Louisville with Coach Pitino, who where Walter worked, and also he played for Coach. So he really knew the staff, and he was determined to bring in guys that would work together and set an example for how we would conduct our business and, bring everybody along as far as players and community and all. So it's really an exciting time, and I think people talk about it a lot, but I don't know if anybody's ever done it any better than Brad Stevens as far as that sort of commitment mm-hmm. to the values that he deems are important. And one of those values is accountability.
Yep.
You know, you can't be a low achiever and cohesive. You end up just being very mediocre. You have to have accountability and uphold standards while supporting one another. And I think that's a real key. So we're excited, obviously, and it's fun to watch the Celtics. And you can, as you recruit, you can point and say, look what they're doing at Boston.
Yep.
You know, read the articles. Here's an example. And it's a great recruiting tool.
I bet it is. Well, we're out of time. Never have enough time with you, Coach. But thank you so very much for jumping in. And I think we've got one more show this month of May. We can jump right at the end of the month if we can get together one more time to wrap it up for this year.
That would be terrific. I always appreciate the time. It's always good to spend time with you, Will. Thanks for allowing me to be a part of the show.
All right. That's Todd Licklider, assistant coach at the University of Evansville. We'll take a break. Back with more Catholic Sports Weekly after this.
You're listening to Catholic Radio Indy, converting the culture to Christ through radio, featuring 100% Catholic programming 24/7. Do your friends a favor. Tell them about Catholic Radio Indy.
Back to close out this edition of Catholic Sports Weekly with a quick reminder. There are still spots open in the annual golf outing for Catholic Radio Indy at Plum Creek. It happens next week, Tuesday, May 22nd. Contact us today and get your foursome or a sponsor. We still need help with sponsorships. You can do it at CatholicRadioIndy.org or just give us a call at 317-870-8400 and join us next week at Plum Creek for the annual golf outing. We'll talk to you next week here on Catholic Sports Weekly. God bless.
You've been listening to Catholic Sports Weekly with Will Hampton, the program that looks at area Catholic sports and the positive impact they have on athletes, coaches, supporters, and fans. Join us each Tuesday and Friday afternoon here on Catholic Radio for Catholic Sports Weekly.